Welcome to Sony News with Kevin Clark. I am Kevin Clark. I don't think my producers who are in the media center can clap right now. They're stuck. They're stuck on Zoom. They can't clap. All right, two great guests today. We will start with Matthew Berry. I thought this was going to be breezy, light, and it was. It was fun. We had a great time. It was a really, really funny episode. But we delved into some topics, his career, some touching tributes to how he views his work now and how he got to that place, how he processes games like the Super Bowl from a fantasy analyst perspective, a sports betting analyst perspective. I really, really enjoyed this. How he tried to become the Martha Stewart of fantasy football. He gets to that. We get to that quite a bit, actually. Was kind of blown away at how deep the conversation was. I knew it would be good because Matthew's always good. I was blown away by how deep it was. We went long on it. So that's first guess. Trevor Lawrence, Jags won a playoff game this year. We get to a lot. We had a good time with Trevor. Football, Doug Peterson, his improvement from year one to year two. I really enjoyed both these guests. Great Slow News Day Tuesday. Matthew Berry, Trevor Lawrence, here they are.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
All right, Matthew Berry, making a Slow News Day debut, Fantasy Life, Fantasy Football Happy Hour on Peacock. What's going on, brother?
Nothing. Man, it's you know, I'm on Radio Row. I'm excited to be here. Happy to...
Wait, let me stop you right there. Are you excited? Are you actually excited to be on Radio Row?
Legitimately excited to be on Radio Row. Legitimately. Can I tell you why?
Yes.
So this goes to because the reason I'm on Radio Row is because I'm part of NBC.
Yes,
and we are broadcasting my show all week long. And that's not the part I'm excited about.
Okay.
But the part is that the reason we're broadcasting my show all week long is because I'm part of NBC's coverage of the NFL. Like, there's a number of shows, like, you know, whatever, Dan Patrick's out here, PFT is out here, Brother from Another, like their whole lineup is out here, as is my show, Fantasy Football Happy Hour. And when I was at ESPN, my season was in when the NFL regular season did.
Oh, I was going to ask about that. Yeah.
Because I was not part of NFL coverage at ESPN. And again, I'm not trying to take shots. It's just the way that company is set up is that the NFL, the part of the company that covers the NFL is separate. Your friend Mina Kimes, our friend Mina Kimes.
Mina's
a friend of mine as well.
Your friend.
I
don't really like her.
But like our mutual friend Mina Kimes, like Mina Kimes' boss is a very different person than my former boss at ESPN. I mean, ultimately, everyone reports to Norby. But you know what I mean? But I'm just saying, like, so just as a point, like, obviously, Mina is part of ESPN's NFL coverage.
Yes.
And so I never was, and I never would have been. And so it was one of the reasons why I wanted to go somewhere else where I would have the opportunity to do so. And so I'm here on Radio Row because I'm part of a big company's NFL coverage and as a fantasy guy and a sports betting guy, but, you know, known primarily as a fantasy guy at this point in my career, I'm thrilled. I'm legitimately thrilled to be here.
Wow, that's beautiful. I didn't expect that. Because Radio Row, I like it. I like just seeing people, like the energy of it.
Yeah.
I will say, Russillo changed my mind on this because one annoying thing, and it just happened to you, and maybe it's not annoying, but people stop you and say, hey, do you have 5 minutes to come on this show, 5 minutes to come on that? You really can't do a whole lap around without being stopped and ask something.
Correct.
Russillo said something to me that I've thought about. He said it to me in Miami. And he said, there's only one thing worse than being asked to come on a bunch of shows at Radio Row. And that's not being asked to come on bunch of shows at Radio Row. Because one day, we're going to do a lap around here. It might be 30 years from now. We're going to do a lap around here. Nobody's going to want us to come on in Albuquerque.
That's right.
Nobody's going to want us to come on. And so just, you know, just take it in stride.
Russillo's absolutely right. And he's smart about that. And he's true. And like, listen, did I want to do the Ithaca College sports podcast yesterday? No, but whatever. They were sweet kids who came up and were very respectful and said, would you, like, we're out here from Ithaca College and we have this sports podcast and we'll be so honored if you came on. And so I went on and I did the show because, you know what, like, good for them for, you know, like, it took me a long time. I wasn't doing that when I was in college. And so, yeah, I mean, like, Russillo is absolutely right. Russillo is always smart. I mean, like, he's right. There will come a time. And there are listen, I mean, I'm sure this happens with you, Kevin, like with my show, we've been offered people. We're like, hey, do you want to talk to this person or that person? And you'll be like, I'll say yes to that person, but no to that person. Yeah. You're like, and you sort of go through, you get offered guests. And so, and I'm sure the same thing happens with this show. And so, right. You know, you don't.
And if there's no rhyme or reason to why you say yes or no. I mean, there is a rhyme or reason, but it's not like this person isn't famous enough to come on or whatever. It's just like, okay, we do. There's some players, for example, who, like, I know sitting in this chair, drinking coffee, reading the newspaper, just like not going to be into it. Famously,
right,
Jason Witten came on this show a few years ago and was not terrific. But then there are other people, your Travis Kelce's, your Alvin Kamara, who light it up and totally get it. We had a thing.
Where do you think I'm going to land? Like, when you're talking about me the way you're talking about Witten and Kamara later to another guest.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm going to be close to the Witten side or am I going to be close to the Kamara
I would say
Kelce
side? Just picking up vibes, I'd say you're a Witten type. I'd say historically, I feel like we're, you know, I think people are gathering around their TVs and saying, no, we have another Witten on our hands. Yeah. Everyone check this out. They're calling
Pretty
their
much.
Friends and they're saying, well, Barry's in Witten territory. Better check this out, brother.
I mean, well, listen, if you've ever seen me run a 10-yard route, I'm, you know, I am similar to Witten in that. I am old and slow.
And you're both
by the way, Jason Witten just catching strays, like poor Jason Witten, like, you know, I heard good things about Slow News Day. Let me just check out this podcast of Radio Row. Let me see what they're thinking about Eagles and, you know, Chiefs. What the hell? Just catching strays left and right. Poor Jason Witten sitting on his couch.
I get what you're saying, but we have a culture of competition here at Slow News Day.
Okay.
And if you don't bring it, like,
it is
I don't know
it
what
is.
To tell you. I don't
Fair
know
enough.
What to tell you. Like, we're always competing. So I have a question. So you mentioned how it's different for you to cover everything through the Super Bowl and be as a part of the NFL coverage on NBC going forward. Your fantasy perspective, your sports betting perspective informs your playoff and Super Bowl discussion. How? Like, how do you process it differently than, say, a Mike Florio, a Chris Sims? We see Thomas Dimitroff over there.
Right. First off, I look at it from a player base, I think,
right?
So I'm processing it like what players, what are the matchups of the players? What are the matchups of, you know, this scheme versus this scheme? And how do I think the individual players will perform? So, I mean, for me, it's probably just more player based, I guess. I don't know that I'm more statistically driven, obviously, than I think. I mean, you know, Sims is totally an X and O's guy as a former NFL quarterback, but so I would, I guess that way, but I mean, I try to bring NFL knowledge to my fantasy analysis and I try to sort of, I don't want to say stay in my lane or understand my lane, but the idea is like when I'm doing shows on Radio Row and they're asking me for the Super Bowl, sometimes I feel like, okay, so from a fantasy perspective, I'm like, there's no fantasy.
Right.
We can just talk about the game. Yeah. You know, like. Or listen, I'm now, you know, now that sports betting is legal, I've been doing a lot more of that. I did it somewhat ESPN last year, and NBC has really embraced it this year. And
thank God sports betting is legal, because I never placed a bet before that day. And I, you know, like, it was crazy to me how I had a whole apparatus to bet on golf, and I knew all the research and stuff just on day one, because obviously I didn't bet before that.
No, never before.
And so I just so
it was
great.
Very helpful.
Yeah, it was so helpful for that to become legal.
Right.
Because I hadn't
so
been doing it for a decade.
Then you were finally able to do it for the first time.
Yeah, I just had no place to park my money. You know, I was putting it in crypto and different scams. And then, and now, smart.
Smart.
Yeah.
It's very similar to, I just remember when I turned 21, I'm like, finally, I can drink alcohol.
Yeah, yeah.
Having my first
good.
Drink, that was nice at 21.
Yeah, it was great. 21st birthday. And you got up to speed. Oh, this is what beer tastes like.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
You said something.
And I was able to order my favorite tequila. which was weird that.
Well, you've done a lot of research. You've done a lot of research on the front end. Yeah. Did his own research. You said something on Bill Simmons' podcast that I do not play fantasy football. We can get into that in a second.
Okay.
But you said something on Bill Simmons' podcast. It is as insightful as anything I've ever heard.
Why are you listening to Bill Simmons' podcast with me on it if you don't play fantasy football?
I work for Bill, number one. And
is that a requirement of the Ringer?
We sit in rooms and we listen to it. We're like
that's forced?
Like, yeah.
We sit at little
desks. We do a little listening. And then it's great. Okay. It's really good. I was listening
Does he sit there and watch you listen to it? That would be fun.
Well, via he's got the camera.
That makes sense.
It's like augmented reality.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you listen. I always have fun with Bill. Yeah, go ahead.
He's the best, and you guys get along well. And you said something that I haven't gotten out of my mind since, which is that when you were starting out, you would talk to a friend, maybe in the entertainment industry, about how to become bigger in fantasy.
Yes.
And the person said, well, you need to find the guy and get them to endorse you in some way.
Correct.
And then you said, well, there is no guy. And then your friend said, well, then just be the guy.
Yes, correct.
That's an amazing, like, I've thought about that so much because in some cases you can just like be the guy in some career choices. And I have a question. How do you become the fantasy guy? It is a huge thing. Obviously you have to get it on the ground floor. But it takes time and you have to, you know, it's totally, what's it called? The dilemma where you get in too early or too late. You have to get right at the right time. I forget what it's called. It's in tech startups. Look it up. How do you go about becoming literally the person most associated with fantasy football?
So I just manifested that destiny. You know what I mean? Like I just put
you
the
visualize it.
And then just, one day I put it out into the universe and it happened.
Woke up and one day Bob Iger was there saying, here's some money.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, in a big check, and he was wearing Disney ears.
It's very strange.
It's a great question. Actually, I thought a lot about it. So, repeat what you just sort of said, but right, yes, I was starting out, I had a website called RotoPass,
yeah.
And I was like, I need to, how do I get people, I was talking with a friend of mine that worked, it was one of the co-founders of Stamps.com, of all things, and so he was like my famous, he was my internet friend, okay. Right? You know, and so he was the guy who understood the internet, like, because this was way back in the day. This is 2004.
Right.
And so I'm trying to like, well, I don't know anything about SEO or like, you know, what are these, you know, meta tags, you know, any, like, how do I drive traffic? Because this is pre MySpace, Facebook, any kind of social media either. And he says to me, you should get somebody to endorse it. Like, you know, get a professional athlete. I'm like, I can't afford a professional athlete. At this point, by the way, most professional athletes hate fantasy. Like, my fans would know.
Austin Eckler was a long ways away.
Long ways
away,
100%. Like any athlete we got to endorse it, the people that play fantasy would know it's a fake because we know that at that point in 2004, we knew athletes hated fantasy.
Jason Witten sitting by his phone, just waiting for your call.
Just waiting. Well, luckily, I knew in the future he would be out on your podcast, and I wouldn't want him to endorse me. So then he says, well, why don't you get the guy? And I'm, what do you mean the guy? And he says, I don't know fantasy sports. But he says to me, I'll never forget this quote. He says, I don't know fantasy sports, but who is the, I don't know, who's the Martha Stewart of fantasy football? Like, who's the one person that, you know, you immediately think of when you think of fantasy football? And I'm like, no one really. Yeah. Like, there's person here, person there that have a couple small websites or whatever, but there's no one person. So he says to me, well, why don't you become that person?
Martha
Stewart of fantasy football. Cause he's just like, why don't you, which tells you 2004, right? You know, I mean, again, it was a good reference in 04.
It was a great one.
And,
so you started insider trading, went to jail.
Obviously. Yeah. Right. And then getting high with Snoop Dogg and it all happened.
That's great.
What I decided was, and he's just like, I'm like, huh? And he goes, listen, if this thing's as popular as you say it is, eventually there will be somebody. There will be somebody who is the guy. And he goes, sounds like you've been doing it for a long time. You've been writing about it professionally for like 7 years. Like, you should try to make yourself the guy. So here's how I did that. As I tried to figure out, like, okay, I looked at the landscape of all the people doing fantasy analysis. And I said, okay, what do I do better than anyone else? Because there are people that I think are better at X and O's than me. I think there are people that are, I'm pretty good with X and O's, but I'm not, you know, I'm not Chris Sims, my colleague, right? I'm not, you know, Teddy Bruschi. You know, I'm not guys like that, you know, played the game, that are really good at breaking it down. And like, I think I'm pretty good with stats, but I'm not, I'm not Nate Silver. Right. I mean, like, there are people that are better statistically than I am. And, like, I have some sources, but I'm like, I'm not Adam Schefter. You know what I mean? So I'm like, what's one thing that I can do better than anyone else? And I thought the one thing that I think I can do better than anyone else is talk about myself. And so I'm a huge Howard Stern fan. Massive Stern fan. And the brilliance of Stern, I could talk for hours and hours about the brilliance of Stern. But one of the things that he did that was so brilliant is, like, he made everything about himself.
Yes.
Everything about himself. And so there's a story that I've never written about, but if you're a Stern fan, you'll know this. But he tells a story in his book, and he's told this on the air a few times, that, like, he once decided to eat breakfast. He was hungry, and he decided to have breakfast. So on the air, he made himself a bowl of cereal and just ate cereal for 18 minutes on the air. Like, that was the whole thing. And he's describing the cereal and the whole thing. And now I'm getting the milk robin and the whole thing. And so he says, you know, his program director comes and he goes, do you know how many calls I got? I'm so angry. You just ate breakfast for 18 half minutes on the air. And, he, you know, 18 minutes and 35 seconds, you ate breakfast on the air. And he goes, how do you think people know that it was 18 minutes and 35 seconds that I ate breakfast on the air? Is it because they listened to the whole thing?
That's amazing.
Right? And
so you just started eating breakfast on the air.
On the air. I became the guy.
Yeah.
No, what I did was I started making everything about me. Amazing. So when I started writing the columns, I decided I was going to, that the analysis was going to be the analysis, but that I needed them to know me. And so I would write these long, very, you know, kind of navel-gazing, egocentric, self-centered columns all about me and my life. And some people hated them and some people loved them, but it was very much from the sort of Howard Stern attention-grabbing school to make it about me. And that I felt like that if you printed out my column and you printed out a bunch of other columns from other fantasy analysts, and you ripped off the name and the URL,
yeah,
and you just had it, and you said, and you went through it, I think that even if you hated me, you'd be like, well, that's a Matthew Berry column.
Right.
And that's I think that there's a lot of the fantasy analysis out there is good, but similar,
yeah,
and fairly dry and stat heavy. And that mine was, at least, even if you didn't like it, you could identify it as mine.
That's wonderful. As good an explanation as I've heard. And I really, really enjoyed that. But being the guy, and so yes, there's two reasons I don't play fantasy.
Okay.
One is, I simply, just a time crunch for me. I just feel like anything worth doing.
What do you
doing,
have going on?
I have a child now.
I have five.
I have a 1-month-old.
I'm assuming your wife does most of the heavy lifting there.
No, I actually, I'm one of the greats at dadding.
Interesting. Yeah. 1 month in.
1 month in. I mean, I'm
just like you were a master sports bettor on day one.
Yeah. I'm secretly raising a child just to practice.
Yeah.
No, so it was, I gamble and golf a lot.
Okay.
The other part of it, and this is important, is that I don't want to have any hangups about players I interact with regularly. So, like, Trevor Lawrence is coming on this show in 25 minutes. If Trevor Lawrence costs me week 16, I don't want anything in my brain rattling around and being like, you motherfucker. You cost me so much. You cost me my high school friends league because you threw two interceptions. I don't need that extra layer of, like, I'm already damaged enough. I don't need to be mad at Trevor Lawrence over something. So that's the other thing. And then so it's the time. It's the I don't want anything to interfere with my takes on players. And then actually there's a third thing, which is, it drives me nuts. And then this is what I need. I think everybody needs their advice on this. If you're supposed to be the fantasy guy, you should never lose a league.
Right.
You're ever in. And so if you're in a high school friends league, college friends league, just a bunch of famous people, whatever, you have to win.
Yeah.
You have to win. There's unbelievable pressure.
Yep. Yeah. I get both those things. I mean, I don't think you would have that pressure. Like, if you played fantasy football, you wouldn't have that
among
pressure.
Among my high school friends or something like that, they'd be like, you get paid for this, jackass.
You work for the Ringer.
Yeah. You get paid for this.
You're right.
Yeah,
you're,
that kind of thing. They wouldn't, like, you know. It wouldn't be the same if it's like, if I'm playing with Corey and Richie.
Yeah, no, I get it. You can tell from Corey and Richie's looks that they're just, you know,
they don't know
auto drafters.
They don't know shit.
Obviously, you can tell.
Yeah,
a couple of auto drafters there. What I would say is about the player thing. I understand that. I guess for me, it's sort of like I try to. I think as long as you're not hot taking it,
right.
you know, and like when I meet players that I have said, you know, negative things about, I'm just like, listen, I say two things. I'm like, number one, hey, listen, right. prove me wrong. Yeah. I would love to be wrong. The numbers are the numbers.
Right.
Tell me, or by the way, tell me why I'm wrong.
Right.
What did I miss here? And I think most people are, especially again, if you're rational about, like, I'll never forget this, but like, so I did a, here you go. This is a story I've never told, but it'll be fun, right? So I get invited to do a speaking engagement for this fan fest in Atlantic City.
Okay.
And they're like, we're going to put you on a panel with you. And this is many years ago, as you'll see, with you, Michael Vick and LeSean McCoy. And this was the year, this was, there was his breakout year in this must have been 2012.
Okay.
Because 2010 was his monster year with the Eagles. And then everyone was on him, including me. I had him as my number one overall pick that year going to 2011. And that's the pick that I get made fun of the most throughout my career. And he disappointed that year.
Right.
And then, so this was going into the next season. So it's me, Michael Vick, LeSean McCoy, and they've got this radio host, Mike Missanelli or whatever is the name of the guy from ESPN in Philly. And he's going to be the host of this panel. And so before the thing, they're just like, oh, and we're going to talk fantasy. We'll ask the Eagles players a couple questions about the upcoming Eagles season, and then you can sort of talk fantasy football. And, you know, and I meet Mike before the show, and he's just like, yeah, this is going to be super easy. Like, I'm going to give them, you know, like, it's a bunch of Eagles fans here and some fantasy players. Like, I'm going to ask them some, you know, Eagles questions and then ask you a couple of give me a few sleepers and busts, easy stuff, softball stuff. I'm like, great, let's have fun. You know, they're all here for Vic and McCoy anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Great, fine. So we get up on stage and he from his back pocket, he pulls out my rankings. And first thing he does, so Matthew, I see here that you have Michael Vick at number 6 overall as your quarterback. Why don't you like Michael Vick? Why do you have 5 quarterbacks ahead of Michael Vick or whatever it is? And Michael Vick does one of these to me. And so, like, you know, totally sandbagged,
yeah,
right?
Of
right?
course.
But just to your point about things, as I said, listen, Michael, I'm a massive fan. Literally last year, I had you as my number one overall pick. I said, but the concern is health.
Yeah.
Is, you know, listen, when you're on the field, you're great. Everyone knows that. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, you missed 5 games, whatever it was. You missed 5 games last year. You've played all 16 games in a season only twice in your NFL career. So my question to you, Michael, is I would love to rank you higher. What have you done this offseason to make sure you can stay on the field for the Eagles this year? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was just like, no, that's fair. Health is a big, you know, health, you know, I got to be smarter about how I'm styling. We're talking to Coach Reed about trying to figure out ways to, you know, I got to be smarter when I'm running and get out of bounds quicker. And like, you know, and he answered like, I, you know, and so, and then Missanelli tried a couple of other things like that about where I ranked McCoy and like, every, you know, and like just whatever, and just tried to dig me on it, like just try to throw me under the bus with those guys, a couple of things. But I was able to, luckily, like, you know, I had my stats, I knew my stuff, and I would just be like, I'm like, I think I said something like, I think it was McCoy at like running back 3 that year.
Right.
I said something like, well, you know, listen, I said, you know, I think I said something to McCoy about, I might be getting my stats wrong. So I apologize for if people listening.
How
to this,
dare you like get 10-year-old LeSean McCoy stats wrong.
But it was something like the fact, like he'd come off a year where he'd had like 18 touchdowns or 20 touchdowns or
yeah,
something,
yeah,
like
yeah.
some insane year. And why did I, and I just said like, here's the thing, statistically in the course of NFL history, you scored 18 touchdowns last year, I'm making up the number, whatever
right.
it was. You scored 18 touchdowns last year. And at this point, like over the last 30 years in the NFL, every player that scored 18 touchdowns, like, you know, only one has repeated. So just, you know, level of odds. Do you
right.
think you can get to 18 touchdowns again, LeSean, you know?
Right.
And he's just like, nah, you know, we've got a couple other guys in the backfield. We want to spread the love and, you know, whatever. And, you know, so that's my point about the, and then the second thing I would say, Kevin, about your friends, is that anyone smart that's about fantasy football that's played understands the luck-based
yes.
element to it.
My friends only understand shit-talking.
Right.
Yes. They don't understand the luck-based
that
element.
Is. I'll tell you this is a story I have told before. So the Vic one I haven't told before, but here's a story I have told before, but it's a good story, and it's my favorite fantasy football story, which I think will speak to this for you, if I can. Do you mind if I tell it?
Please. Right.
So it's not even my story. It's Matt Hasselbeck's story. So Matt Hasselbeck told me.
Wait, like Kramer? You're selling yeah. Matt Hasselbeck selling his stories?
Yeah. No, but Matt told me this story when we worked together at ESPN, and I said, that's the greatest story I've ever heard. Can I use that? And he has graciously said, by all means. And so I've written about it. It's in my book. I've written columns about it. And the answer is, the very question is that Matt Hasselbeck plays fantasy football. And he actually played fantasy football in 2009 when he was the starting quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks. So that year in fantasy football, he drafted as his fantasy quarterbacks himself.
Yes, of course.
And Brett Favre, his former teammate in Green Bay, who that year was in his first year at Minnesota. Okay. I don't know if you remember this, but in Minnesota that year, Favre actually had a great fantasy year. That first year in Minnesota. And so in week five of the 2009 season, Matt Hasselbeck had a decision. Brett Favre was at home against the Rams, who at the time were one of the worst teams in the NFL. Meanwhile, Hasselbeck had to play the Jaguars, who had won two straight, had a decent defense. Hasselbeck had missed the last two games with a lower back injury. And so Matt Hasselbeck decided to bench himself and start Brett Favre in fantasy football that week. I will save you the trouble of looking it up. In week five of the 2009 season, Brett Favre throws one touchdown pass, one interception. Adrian Peterson goes crazy, and the Vikings roll. The Rams is not particularly close. Brett Favre finishes as quarterback 18 that week in fantasy football. Meanwhile, Jacksonville comes into Seattle and gets rolled. Matt Hasselbeck throws 256 yards, four touchdown passes, ends the week as the number one quarterback in fantasy, sitting on his own bench. And you think about this. Matt Hasselbeck knew the game plan, looked at the film, could call an audible at any time.
Yep.
Matt Hasselbeck literally touched the football on every offensive play. He had as much control over an NFL game as any fantasy player ever in the history of the sport, and he still got it wrong. So if Matt Hasselbeck can't get it right, what hope do any of us have of getting it right on a consistent basis? So when you think about it from that perspective, it's just like, yes, I don't win. I win a lot more leagues than I lose, but I don't win every league that I'm in.
Wow. Matt Hasselbeck.
Right?
Was he pissed off at himself? It's like, fuck.
No, do you know Matt at all? He's a great guy. He's the best guy. And he tells the story in himself with a smile. He's the best guy. And it's a great story. I'm like, please let me write about it. He's like, go ahead, knock yourself out.
Horoscope, when's your birthday?
December 29th.
December 29th. Capricorn.
Yes.
You're ready to move on from work tension. You have a compassionate mindset.
I do have a compassionate mindset. I don't think I really have any work tension unless you're going to start something.
All your boys, are there Sims walking around?
I see Sims walking around.
He looks ready for some tension.
There's the Michaels and the brother from another set, which is my set.
The day is young is what I would say about that. You just don't know where you're at.
Okay, good.
We do a thing called Club Kevin. You can induct anybody. It's our personal Hall of Fame. You can induct anybody you would like. Yesterday, Jared Goff inducted the entire cast of White Lotus, I think. I think it's about 25 people. And so it does not matter. It could be an athlete who won you a league this year. It could be a TV show you're watching. Doesn't matter. Who are you inducting?
That is that's a great one. Who am I inducting? I feel like I should give you a funny, goofy answer. But I'm going to give you a genuine answer. I'm going to give you a heartfelt. I'm going to tug on the heartstrings a little bit.
Please do.
Okay. And here's who I'm going to induct into the Hall of Fame. I'm going to induct Jalen Hurts and the entire cast and crew of Football Night in America. And I'm going to tell you why. Into the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
I talked about this a little bit, right? But I wanted to, one of the reasons why I decided to leave ESPN was I wanted to be part of NFL coverage of another company. And just again, like as we talked about, Mina's got a different boss than I. And I knew at ESPN I was never going to be part of NFL coverage. So I go to NBC. And NBC is like, no, we think fantasy and sports betting are how fans consume the NFL. It's one of the ways. And so it's going to be part of how we cover the NFL. We're going to cover the NFL.
In the states where it's legal. Again, only in the states where it's legal.
But fantasy's legal everywhere.
Yes.
So we're going to, as the way we cover the NFL is, you know, the X's and O's and the stats and the players and analytics and everything. But we're also going to talk about fantasy and sports betting. And you're going to lead our efforts there. Great. But I'm still coming into this thing. And so my first night, I literally signed my contract with NBC August 5th, like at noon. And at 7 o'clock that night, I was on that air. I was on air at the Hall of Fame game, which was the first preseason game of the year.
Yeah.
And I'm making my, you know, NBC debut, my national television debut on the show. And I'm on the sideline, right? And it's the Hall of Fame game. And I'm standing next to Phil Simms' kid, right? You know, Chris Simms, who played 8 years in the league, former pro quarterback. And, you know, and I go into the production meeting and there's Tony Dungy, who's a Hall of Fame coach, right? And there's Jason Garrett, who's, you know, very famous head NFL coach. There's Rodney Harrison, who should be and I think will be in the Hall of Fame one day, right? I mean, so there's like these legends upon legends of football there. And now I'm the fantasy nerd, right? And so at ESPN, I'd sort of established my own little, you know, fiefdom, if you will. Like I was off to the side, but like at least I knew where I stood in that area of the company. Here, I'm not only a new guy, but now I'm the new guy on a football stage, yeah. And I'm about to be the first ever fantasy betting analyst on a NFL pregame mm-hmm. show, mm-hmm. you know, before an NFL game. And I'm super nervous. And I'm super nervous about, like, are they going to be like, what's the fantasy nerd doing here? You know, and Football Night has a massive audience. And, like, fantasy players know who I am, but, like, I don't know how many of the average football players that sure. don't, average football fans that don't play fantasy know who I am. And I'm certainly new to the Football Night in America audience. And so, first off, for the Football Night in America crew, every single one of them was like, thank you. Thank you for coming. We're so excited to have you on the Amazing. Team. You know, like, I never actually met Maria Taylor at ESPN because she was on event, meaning she wasn't in Bristol. She was doing, you know, NBA and college football, which I don't touch. And so, like, I'd never actually met Maria at ESPN. And so, like, I go up to introduce myself to Maria, and I hold out my hand to shake it, and she pushes it away, brings me in for a hug, and Beautiful. Says, welcome home. And, like, and to a person, they were all like, thank you so much for being here. We're so excited for you to be on the show. You're going to make us better. Like, we can't wait for you to help us, you know, help us win. And, like, a very different experience than I had, you know, at other jobs. And so that was, like, great. Like, I immediately felt, like, warm and part of the team, not like I got to prove myself or new guy or, you know, that they were just like, oh, hi, hey, welcome. Like, they all went out of their way to be like, thank you for being here. We're excited to have you part of this team. And then Jalen Hurts, because the first thing I ever did is I said, Simms and I had a little back and forth on air where we talked about Jalen Hurts. And I said, because he was on the cover of the Roto World magazine. And I said, look, everyone knows he's, you know, got potential as a fantasy quarterback. I think number one quarterback in fantasy is within his realm of range of outcomes. Because I said, but I also think he could take a Josh Allen-like leap from year 2 year to year 3.
Yep.
I said, if you look at, and, you know, Simms is like, I don't know about the decision-making or the arm strength. And I'm like, I'm not saying he's got Josh Allen's arm. But what I am saying is that he has, if you look at the stats in his second year or his first 2 years compared to the stats on a per-game basis, because he played less than Josh Allen, he actually is equal to or better than Josh Allen in almost every statistical category. Third year, Josh Allen gets Stephon Diggs, monster season, yes. right? You know, incredible season, almost gets the Super Bowl. And I said, I think Jalen Hurts can do that as well this year. Getting A.J. Brown, second year in the system, second year of Devontae Smith, great offensive line, pretty good schedule that'll get the sports radio calls off his back because everyone's like, oh, they should have drafted a quarterback. There's questions about whether can he be the franchise quarterback. I think he's got that ability. And so, obviously, he's made me look very smart. Not that I didn't get picks wrong this year. I did. But my very first one, you know, for NBC was kind of a home run. And throughout the year, when Jalen Hurts would do something, especially if we had the game, because we all watched the games together, Hurts would do some big play. And, like, Tony Dungy or Garrett would be like, there's Barry's boy. So, you know, what's wrong, yeah. Simms? You didn't see him, you know? And, like, you know, so, and, like.
Learn ball, Simms.
Right. Simms is great. He was on
the show. We talked about JFK conspiracies. It was amazing.
He is awesome. But my point is like, he gave me football credibility. And, yeah. like, so just all of it, like, it's been a magical year. And to end, I guess, probably where we started off is why I'm thrilled to be on Radio Row and part of NBC and part of the NFL coverage of, you know, a big four broadcasting network.
Matthew Berry, Fantasy Life, Fantasy Football Happy Hour on Peacock, NBC Sports NFL coverage from the Hall of Fame game You're through right. the Super Bowl,
right.
as we discussed, in yeah. the offseason. No days off.
No days off. Well, yeah, a little bit. I'm going to work on fantasylife.com, as you mentioned. Appreciate that. But, you know, I'm looking forward to the season being over, but it's all right. I'll be out at the you gonna be at the combine?
No, I'm raising a child.
I thought you were a master at it.
I just don't like going to the combine. So
there you go. Yeah. Now the truth comes out. Now the truth comes out.
Matthew Barry, thank you so much,
Kevin,
for coming on Sunday's Day, man. This is so great.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, Trevor Lawrence is here for Slow News Day. Breakout player, former first overall pick. He's here with Head & Shoulders and PNG. What's going on, Trevor?
What's up? How are we doing? Thank you guys for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on the show. Obviously, followed you for a long time. I want to start with this. I'm from Orlando, spent a lot of time in St. Augustine growing up. I know North Florida really well. Tell me something people don't know about Jacksonville as a sports town.
Man, it's a great place. One, we really enjoyed living here. It's a really, really great place to live. I'm sure, like you said, you know the area, so you've seen that. But the fan base is awesome. I think you look at kind of the history of the organization, and there's been some rough years, and the you know, we have some resilient fans that have gone through a lot. So it was cool, even just this year, to be able to experience some success with them. And I'm really excited for the future and to continue to do that, because we have a great fan base that's super deserving of a great team. And I'm confident that that's where we're heading.
What are the interactions like? Because I talked to Jared Goff, was on the show yesterday. He was talking to people in Detroit and just sort of the you know, going to get a coffee and how different it is when the Lions are winning. You brought a playoff team to Jacksonville. When you go get a coffee or you go just run into a drugstore or whatever, like, what are people saying to you in Jacksonville?
People are excited. And this is a place, it's kind of unique. I think people do a really good job of letting you have your space, and it's not overwhelming. You know, it's not a crazy, crazy city like that. But people are really pumped, and it's cool to go out now. And just the positivity around the team. And now you see everybody wearing Jags gear. I mean, you saw it a little bit before, but now that we're winning, it's like everybody that's walking around, like you said, getting a coffee, going to lunch, whatever, everybody's wearing Jags gear, which that's a cool thing to be able to, you know, for our team to do that and kind of bring people together. It's cool.
Why is Doug Peterson a quarterback whisperer? Because you hear the cliche all the time. You're just like, oh, he makes his quarterbacks better. He knows what to do. Like, specifically, he made you better how?
There's a lot. Honestly, there's a lot that goes into that. It's our system. I think it is really quarterback friendly in the fact that it's complex in the ways that we attack defenses and certain things we do, but it's really simple to learn, to master. The amount of tools that I have in order to have success is awesome. That's been the most fun part of the system, is learning the ins and outs of that, the checks I can get to, building that rapport and chemistry with the coaches and with my teammates to be just better and better. And then I think just the way he carries himself, him being a former quarterback, helps in his and how he can develop guys, because he's been in our position. He knows what it takes. He's played in the league. He's been around really great players. He's done all those things. He's won Super Bowls. So I think all those things come together. And then his staff that he hired, you know, Press and Mike McCoy and Jim Bob and all these other guys that have come together, all these different minds that have really made it their own and have helped and have taught me a lot. I think it's just given me a lot of confidence. And I think also too, he's done a great job this season. He's always kept the faith and belief in us as a team, myself as a player, even when things aren't looking great. We had a couple rough games. He's done a great job at all those.
It's interesting because Alex Smith is on this show last year, and he talked about the growth of a young quarterback. And he said that he repeated his rookie year over and over and over again. And it was so, you know, he was getting hit early and he said he wasn't ready to play and all this stuff. And it was a different deal. But he basically said, like, it was hard for me to put my rookie struggles behind me. The year one to year two jump for you was so significant. And I was curious, you know, I think every team looks, Trevor, at how to have this sort of leap from their young quarterback. What went into it for you as far as just getting better? What did you specifically work on? Because I think that there are a lot of coaches around the NFL saying we want that kind of improvement from our young quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, my answer is similar to what you just asked me about coach and how develops quarterbacks and why he's so good at that. I think that's the same reason, you know, I've had success. Also, it's taken a lot of work from me. You know, I worked on a lot this offseason, really just trying to improve my game. And then I think mastering the system in this offense, it helped me a ton. I think you saw that get better and better as the year went on. You know, probably the halfway mark of our season, offensively, we took off. We started playing much better, really in every category, including personally, individually, myself. So that all comes together. And then we brought in some great players. And this game is, it's all about players. I mean, it is, obviously you need a good coach, you need a good system. That's really important. But at the end of the day, it's the guys on the field that are playing. And you got to have guys, one, that are good players and that play well together. And our chemistry got really, really strong, especially the second half of the season. So I'm looking forward on just building on that for the years to come.
Eagles defense scouting report. You played them in October. What do people not know about that defense?
I mean, I think most things have been said. It's a really good defense. They get a lot of recognition, as they should. It's deserved. They've had a great year. They gave us fits. I had a really, really rough game against them. I had a bunch of turnovers. So they did some good things. Their pass rush is great. Hassan off the edge. I mean, just that speed, that's something that is kind of unique. He's so quick off the edge. He's hard to get hands on. And then their DBs are really good too. So in their passing game, they got the pass rush. And then plus you add Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox, all the guys in the interior and their DBs. So they get to the quarterback quick and they got guys that can cover, have great ball skills. You match those two together, it makes it challenging, you know? So they do a great job. And then offensively, I can't speak as much to that game plan for them, but you see their offense, how efficient they are. That's been the most impressive thing, I think, is their efficiency. So it's going to be a tough matchup and I'm excited to watch it.
I know you're going to get this question a lot, but you played both of these teams this year. Do you have a prediction?
A prediction? I don't know. I kind of lean towards the Chiefs only because, we played them twice this year for one. So we got two cracks at them and they're tough. They're tough to game plan for. I think their defense is really underrated. That's one thing that was impressive to me. Just obviously Chris Jones is tough up front, and then their scheme is really good. And then obviously they got Patrick and Travis Kelce and all those guys on offense. So it's going to be a tough matchup. I think I couldn't tell you who I really, if I had to, like, which obviously we can't, but if I had to bet on the game, I don't know who I would pick, but I'm going for the Chiefs just because they beat us. I'd like to see the team that beat us win the Super Bowl. And so we'll see, but I think it's a great matchup.
I think that obviously you're a young player. I don't think the national media knows a ton about your personality. We know about your winning obviously in college and your success this year. You as a pop culture connoisseur, whatever it is, like what TV do you watch? What TV do you watch? What movies do you watch? Like, what is Trevor Lawrence the person like?
TVs and movies. Well, I mean, I think I really am just like a laid back guy. I mean, I'm go with the flow. I don't have any like must-dos, must-haves, things like that. You know, I like hobbies, enjoy playing golf, really just hanging out with my friends and family as much as I can, playing cards, all those things. But I'd say movies and TV. I was just watching a show called Dead to Me on Netflix. Me and my wife were. Good show. So that's one. We're huge, like, Office fans, New Girl. Those are kind of, like, staples for us that we always go through. And then movies, I like thrillers, that category, like suspense thrillers type movies.
That's interesting. Yeah, no, New Girl and The Office are two, like, among NFL quarterbacks, that's The Office comes up quite a bit. Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, sure. All those fellas. There's a lot of quotes there. Hair care tips. What do you got?
Oh man, I don't really have too many. I don't do much. Like I said,
is it all natural? Did you just kind of let it, you wake up like this?
Yeah, I don't even really. I brush my hair maybe once a week, not often at all. And then I just shampoo it and conditioner it occasionally. So that's it.
Wait, you brush your hair once a week?
Maybe. Usually I don't even do that. Like, I don't even, when we go on trips, I don't even take a hairbrush with me. I never brush my hair.
What is this? What was God cooking when he came up with that head of hair?
I got fortunate that I had good hair genes, and now I just have to keep it as long as I can because Marissa's not a fan of the short hair. So
you're not going to Justin Herbert it and want to just show up and just have like a hair like mine?
I don't think so. I'm going to ride it out for as long as I can, see how long that is. But hopefully I got a few more years left.
Oh my God, this is unbelievable. No, I had no idea. You and Justin Fields obviously were the two best recruits in the country. You went back and forth on it. And it was, I was just reading a story this morning about how epic that, just even the workouts were when you were in high school and just knowing that there were two great Atlanta area quarterbacks. I'm curious how you think NIL would have changed your recruitment and kind of that era of college football. Would you have done anything differently now that it's portal, it's NIL? You had a different college experience because obviously you had a lot of early success, but I'm curious if you were born 5 years later, how you think things would have turned out differently.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I'm glad. One thing I said when I finished up my last year and then my rookie year, I always said I'm glad I wasn't around during all that, like the NIL. Glad like my last year was the last kind of normal year of college football. Cause my experience was awesome. I really enjoyed it. It was nice not having that extra pressure and stress of bringing money and all these different challenges and schedules into the picture, trying to be a college athlete, go to school and play football and try to be the best I can. Like, I'm glad that wasn't an extra distraction for me.
Sure.
So I don't know if I would change anything. I don't know what that would look like, but people always ask me and they think I missed out on something. I mean, yeah, I guess there was some money to probably make there, but I feel like I was fortunate that I didn't have to really deal with all those challenges.
I also think you're going to do okay. That's my prediction. You're going to do okay financially. I've done some research on this.
Appreciate it.
Last thing before we get to what you're doing with PNG, we do a thing called Club Kevin. It's our Hall of Fame. You can induct anybody you want. Yesterday, Jared Goff inducted White Lotus, that whole cast. Could be a TV show, could be an athlete. It doesn't matter. Whoever you want to shout out, you have the floor.
Oh, man. Who am I going to shout out? That's a tough question. I would say White Lotus, that's a good one. I'm not going to use that one. man, I'll use this just because it kind of leads into what we're talking about next.
Yeah.
CJ Beathard, he's a backup quarterback here.
Yeah,
one of my best friends. He is our ping pong champion of the locker room. Never lost a ping pong game or match the whole season, undefeated. So I'll put him in the Hall of Fame.
Amazing. CJ Beathard, welcome to Club Kevin. Tell us what you're doing with PNG and Head and Shoulders and the Battle of the Paddles on Wednesday night.
Yeah, so PNG is hosting its first ever Battle of the Paddles. It's a ping pong tournament. There's 8 NFL players. I'm one of them. We're going to be competing head-to-head to see who wins the tournament. I'm super excited. It's going to be fun. I'm sure there's going to be some trash talk. And people can watch on Twitch Sports at 7, I believe it's 7 p.m. Wednesday night. So you guys tune in. I'm representing Head and Shoulders, so it's funny you brought up the hair. It's the first hair endorsement, hair care, shampoo, all those things that I've ever done in my career. So I'm excited. It's with Head and Shoulders, with the best. So I can't wait.
Love it. Trevor Lawrence, thank you so much for coming on Twin Tuesday, buddy.
Awesome. Thank you, man.
Look at that hair wave right at the end.
Just one for, yeah.
Yeah.
One for,
yeah. Awesome, man. Appreciate you. Have a good one.
Thanks, man. See you.